afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
He finally came back.
Came back from the dead.
Still got the shingles. We won't even get into that. They suck, though, if you haven't had the shot. I'm not big on shots, but after watching Bill is a great advertisement for the shingles vaccine. We're changing it up today. We have Julian Hagman on here for the first half hour, and he is the Chief Operating Officer of Caring Professionals, Inc. I'll just roll with, he's got a very long bio, but the interesting part is the whole thing, so I'll just read part. A driven and results-oriented healthcare executive with more than a decade of experience in strategic planning, business development, and organizational growth. As the CEO at Caring Professionals, a licensed home care agency, and fiscal intermediary, he oversees operations that deliver essential services to older adults and individuals with disabilities. His mission is to evaluate business performance, enhance service quality, and maximize productivity across all departments while ensuring strict compliance with state regulations and industry best practices. Now I'm going to skip to the recent part. Recently testified before the New York State Joint Committee of the Senate Standing Committee on Health and the Senate Standing Committee on Investigations and Government Operations on concerns regarding the mandate for single fiscal intermediary and its impacts on the consumer-directed personal assistance program, CDPAP. I didn't know that acronym. So it's the Consumer-Directed Personal Assistance Program. And I'll tell you what, everybody, I can't imagine unless you're 10 years old, everybody's dealing with, knows somebody who's dealing with, is the person who's dealing with senior care these days. And the title of this kind of got my eye, the thing that came out from his publicist, New York's powerful 1199 SEIU union already benefiting from Governor Hochul's allegedly rigged revamp of the $11 billion Medicaid program. Yeah, well, $11 billion, yeah, I mean, there's
that's
like,
worth taking a run at.
Yeah, might as well. So, Julian, that, except for what I've posted online for today, that's the end of our portion of the program, so.
That's the Cliff Note version,
right.
You know, the $11.99 piece, unfortunately. That's typically where I would start also, right? The union, you know, what the benefit they actually bring versus the cost.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about family caregivers here.
Yeah.
Right? We're not talking about an Amazon warehouse. We're not talking about, you know, any kind of major productivity kind of establishment. We're talking one-on-one care, one employer, one employee. I don't know why the union would think they can come in and, you know, demand better benefits for that one employee on the behalf of the individual, especially in a state that is so regulated that, you know, healthcare is law, minimum wage is the highest in the country. There's a healthcare minimum wage on top of standard minimum wage. What's the union really bringing here? And yet they're going to profit, you know, $200 million or so. That doesn't seem...
Which drives up the cost again.
Everything drives up the cost. But in the grand scheme of things, the $200 million, the union's benefit is peanuts.
Sure.
Right?
If there's $11 billion on the table, sure.
But the whole situation really at our hands, it started with the no-bid contract, between the current administration and... You know, on the face of, you know, saying we need to ensure economies of scale and efficiencies, right? It's the typical private equity sort of terminology coming in and trying to scale, you know, a corporation through efficiency. And I keep trying to explain to them that, you know, you're talking about individuals and communities across the state of New York that are going to be, you know, locally affected by removing these individuals from those communities. But they didn't really seem to care about that because there was a bigger price tag on the other side that was much more lucrative, apparently. Obviously I've been very involved throughout the whole entire process. But like you said, it's $11 billion a year program. The profit on that is $1 billion to this now state-sanctioned monopoly, right? Before you had 600 local companies that were providing this care throughout the state. So 600 local providers had shut their doors as of April 1st. And this was the only company that was legally allowed to provide this service.
Oh, gee, for the entire state?
For the entire state.
And how do they figure that's going to control costs when they appoint who gets the contract and
there's no competition?
There's no competition.
I'm very happy you brought that up because most recently, so even the payers, right? Because the state, as you know, contracts out its Medicaid program to different insurance carriers. Right, so the Anthem, Blue Crosses, Blue Shields, the Molinas, Health Firsts, what have you, right? They are all contracted out by the state, and this is all run through the Medicaid program. They are a part of a healthcare association who has legal representation, who just most recently submitted a letter to the company that won the bid's attorney, you know, calling on them because they are now trying to increase their reimbursement. After last year's contract was finalized, within 6 months, they're coming back and saying that they're demanding higher reimbursement. And so, the association's coming out and citing all these antitrust rules and basically calling it a monopoly. Even though, I was there shouting, holding the flame and shouting, this is a monopoly, state-sanctioned monopoly a year ago. Now it's, really becoming seen because the insurance players are now getting involved, and they're seeing, okay, well, if I don't provide them higher insurance rates, they can cut me out of the system. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow. What a neat trick.
Yeah, and, additionally to that, because there's always more, which I love, because, everything that is done prim and proper, right, the stories obviously keep coming out, and so there's a watchdog organization called the Empire Center in New York State. They most recently came public with a FOIA request in which they received. On the FOIA requests was listed just names and emails of the individuals who were parts of this meeting, which happened in April before the budget came out. And on that email is, the Medicaid director for New York State. It's members of the executive's team, the chief operating officer. There's members of the company that won the what was going to be an RFP, but was not public knowledge that there was going to be an RFP at that point, who were in this meeting. So we got that they've had meetings and they have had follow-up meetings prior to that budget coming out. But, the funny thing is we also have testimony by these very people saying that they had no communication prior to the budget coming out.
Oops.
So, so now we're in the situation. It's like, well, that's interesting. So what's really going on here? So, I could go on and on and on because this is just the most recent development, right? This FOIA we got, this past week. It goes back to even further, right? There was backroom deals and budget negotiation. The fact that you could rip, the foundation out of these programs, out of these communities, I don't know. I know many people are familiar with, senior care. But whether you're in the city, whether you're in rural, right, we're sometimes the agency that's most easy to get in touch with and understands your direct need, whether it's language, dialect, religion, creed, what have you, even where you are in the state. And You know, all these businesses are gone. Thousands of employees throughout the state were laid off. I had to lay off 60% of my staff. It's really a disgrace.
And these were all people who provided direct care to seniors in their homes.
That's the program.
For the most part.
The program. Yeah, well, that's the program. The program is the direct care piece. But to support that program, because what this company is doing, what the state did is they hired a private equity company. Right? This is owned by private equity through and through. And what do? They want to make it as efficient as possible to drive up the valuation. And so to do that, you need to reduce costs. How do you reduce costs? Everything is done offshore. All right? How do you provide a local service? This is home and community-based services we're talking about.
Sure.
You need to be, you know, there's federal regulations, so you need to be in the community in which you provide the service.
Well, yeah, so you can go over to their house, right?
Yeah, you can't do
telehealth or in-home care.
Yeah, you know, if it snows by you, it snows by them. You know what's going on, right? You have that rapport. You're in the constant communication. And all that was just ripped away overnight.
So on the bottom rung, you have the person who needs services. So they have had somebody coming in and helping them out to do whatever their care profile says. And now who helps them? No one?
So that same person was required to go sign up with this new company, take a cut in pay.
Oh.
They don't pay as much as the previous fiscal intermediaries did. They offered inadequate health benefits, right? They offered MEC plans, which automatically enrolled the employees into a lot of them, and a lot of them already had secondary insurance primary insurance through a spouse or a significant other, what have you. And then they got kicked off of that insurance, and it created a whole entire mess. If you could write down what's the worst possible thing that could happen to an industry, right? I'm going to take over an industry. I'm going to say it's for the benefit. I'm going to cut wages. I'm going to cut benefits. And I am going to monopolize this entire, you know, they look at it as a revenue stream.
Sure. Yeah, because they have hostages. They're all getting old. And they're all in their homes. And either that or they're going to have to go into care facilities.
And they have, you know, I guess good friends, right? Because my organization has been operating in this space for 33 years in New York. We know our communities. I have offices throughout the state that have local workers that show up and know the people that they're taking care of.
Sure.
And that they're talking to. I wasn't eligible to apply for this bid.
Now, why weren't you eligible?
Because in order to be eligible to apply for the bid, you had to be operational outside of New York State.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, considering the program only happens in New York State, right?
And I've been operating in New York State for 33 years. I'm a very well-known, well-respected agency. I've been involved in through all of the associations throughout the state on a very high level. I give back to every community in which I have an office in and work in as much as I can. And it's an ultimate slap in the face. It really is.
Sure.
Saying you're not eligible to help the people which you're currently helping, I'm just going to take it from you like eminent domain.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is an eminent domain. However, they're not required to make you whole before they do it. They just come in and crush your industry.
So your existing clientele then is forced to leave your services and join this conglomerate, basically, and take what they can get.
And his employees are forced to join it too, if they want jobs.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And there's other associations out there that are grassroots community brought up because of this issue, that are still putting on protests to this day outside of the governor's office because their paychecks are incorrect. the systems in which that the company uses do not suit their needs for whatever their disability is. I mean, this is it's absolutely absurd. I'm sorry to use that again, but it is. This company came in, and I don't know if you know how healthcare billing works at all, but typically in any kind of service billing kind of industry, you bill for services which were rendered, and then you get reimbursed net 30, 45 days later, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This company got the bid and was pre-funded 3 months of billing.
Wow.
So in essence, which, bravo to that negotiation, but I could have won the bid, been fronted, because 3 months of billing of $11 billion.
Yeah, right.
I could build you any system in which needs to be built.
Yeah, you could be super creative. You could even drag your feet and take a day off.
Exactly, right? I mean, that's pretty interesting, right? And it's everything, everywhere that you look, it stinks.
Tell me this. So when this all first started, how long ago was that, like, ballpark? I mean, has this been in the works for...
This started, the issue around this industry started under the previous Cuomo administration 4 years ago, where there was a similar RFP issued. However, it was fair. It was challenged legally, mm-hmm. and like so much state contracts is, it was eventually thrown out in court. Because they just didn't feel they didn't have the energy to keep fighting. And so then fast forward to where we are today, that's when Hochul introduced legislation into last year's budget. So, you know, last year's budget, March, April is when we initially found out that this was going to happen. Part of that state Senate committee in which I testified in that you mentioned, the Democratic state senators brought budget legislation that listed the company that won the RFP as legislation before it was changed to be a request for a proposal.
Hmm. So what's the benefit to the state with this new program? I guess we need to look at that.
They're able to control the cash a lot easier since they have one person running it. And so, you know, where that goes from there, you tell me. It's too early to be able to really do any forensic accounting on it, but I can tell you, I'm sure there's some PACs that are very happy. I'm sure that there's some...
yeah, right?
Oh, my gosh. I would imagine with that, because you're talking $1 billion
yeah.
in profits.
What about
the
people who were part of all these services and their families and all that? I mean, what was the pushback on all this?
It was monumental.
I bet
monumental
it was huge.
Monumental pushback. Nobody appreciated. Nobody wanted the change. Nobody asked for the change. Everybody enjoyed the program as it was. We as an industry, through many associations, attempted working with the state, trying to implement our best practices as industry standard and law to reduce everything that they claimed they wanted to reduce, which was fraud, waste, and abuse. You know, that's where they hang their hat.
Sure.
And the best way to do that is, I always felt, would to be work with the, you know, the industry known leaders, you know, to implement these best practices that in which have been proven throughout the industry as audit procedure. Because the audits in which they do...
Well, besides
you
that,
know,
you would have a choice. And I think anyone who has, you know, home health needs, not all of them are the same. And so that allows you to maybe go with a different provider. This takes all of that away. It is now one size fits all. If you have any kind of complaints, well, you know, you're just out.
Yeah, there's no choice. They ripped choice away from the consumer. in April this year for this program.
So you have fewer caregivers. You have, and like so many things, I'm sure the first ones to fall under the axe were your far rural areas in New York, because if you're people who live there, you know, but I don't know, maybe not. They might need the jobs more, so maybe they had to switch over. What kind of happened?
Everyone had
that?
To switch over. I mean, if they were able, they had to switch over. But the sort of the egg on the face for the state is that a lot of these people, you know, switched over to alternate care, more expensive care, more expensive home care, nursing home care, and all of that inflated the cost even more than their anticipated savings that they said that they wanted.
Brilliant.
They moved people into higher acuity care that were happier receiving the care that they were receiving.
Yeah. How many people just bailed on, you know, families had to bail on the in-home care and had to move their relatives into facilities of some kind?
100%. So they have stats on it. In New York, you know, it's anywhere from 50,000 to 80,000 people left for higher acuity care.
Oh, wow. So not just higher acuity in-home, would that mean? I don't necessarily
no.
speak it.
Yeah, higher acuity in-home. It could be higher acuity in-home where instead of having, you know, a family caregiver come in who can administer medication, via traditional home care, that's not an allowable procedure. You can remind medication, but you can't give the medication. And so, you know, if you move from this program to traditional home care, now all of a sudden you need a nurse or an LPN additionally to come into the home to provide that medication.
Yeah, that'll be cheaper.
Right? and so, you know, all of this was done on an executive level. There was no studies done on it. Nobody came and asked the community what would be best. How do we do this? How do we cut costs? No, this was strictly a backdoor deal. And hey, we're the best at doing this. They got sold a bag of goods, which was clearly rotten. And, you know, I have a lawsuit out there against the company that won, and I want to get to the bottom of this. I want to find out. I want to get that discovery in order to get in there and see these emails and prove what I know happens. Because, like I said, I've been in this industry in New York for over a decade, and my company has been providing this service for 33 years. How do you just come in and do this with a company that has never even worked in New York a day in its life?
Yeah. Any chance this will be? How long has it been operational? How long since everybody got the pink slip?
Since April.
So not that long in the scope of all things. Long enough to disrupt the entire universe, but not
correct.
So long that they couldn't go back on it.
Correct. Correct. There's ways, and there is legislation to repeal it and roll it back. But listen, after seeing what just transpired this past budget season, legislation to me is just useless.
Trust me. Everything they want to do in California that's against the law, they just get the voters to go for it. So we only have like a minute left, and I don't want to leave you without first saying we'd love to have a part two, so keep us posted on what happens, because the other part of my question is, how likely is this that more states will do something stupid like this? Because that's usually what happens in your state and ours.
It's highly, highly likely. I mean, we only touched the tip of the iceberg of how deep this spreads. And, you know, how private equity has infiltrated the health system through just staffing, right? Just staffing of these health departments, right?
Sure.
Most of the health departments, you know, countrywide use gap accounting. So they do a lot of subcontracting and staffing agencies to come in to work on, you know, specific projects. And that's how stuff gets infiltrated into, you know, these RFP guidelines that exclude the local provider that cater towards the individual in which they want to win.
Yeah. Oh, and just to decode for people who don't speak acronym, RFP is a request for proposal. I kept meaning to do that.
Sorry.
I was like, oh, after all this, better tell them. Julian, we'd love to have you back on. We have a lot more time, you know. We're not limited to a half hour. So let's talk to Kimberly about setting something up so we can dig into what that part is, because I actually think where we should start next time is, what do you look for in your state to see this train coming down the tracks? Because I think your experience in New York is a harbinger for things coming. So
absolutely is. Absolutely
nice.
Is. Well, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate
Julian
it.
Julian Heckman, he is with Caring Professionals, Inc. You can find all of the information on our site at wethepeopleradio.us. And we will have him on again for sure. Thanks, Julian. Sorry, I ended the wrong way. Bill was gone for 1 week, and then, well, you know.
So we're going to commercial now.
Yeah, yeah.
Here
so,
we go.
Okay.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah, climbing the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Stage lights cold as a winter rain. One breath, one prayer, then the world went strange.